It's Friday, time for our weekly roundup of business stories with Jack Robinson. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Steve.
Jack is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. We had some pretty big developments in the downtown arena story.
The Kings announced a deal that guarantees a majority of the 3,500 construction jobs of the project will be union jobs, and at least 60% of those will be with local contractors. It's a good piece of news for the local economy, which is counting on the arena for a jolt over the next 2 years as it's built. Also, we had earlier in the week, Daryl Steinberg introduced a bill to limit environmental challenges to the project. And all of this comes at sort of a quickening pace of news as the arena project ramps up.
You think there's some kind of legal fight looming here? I mean, it seems like a lot of these steps are kind of like defensive maneuvers.
I think the Kings and the city are being methodical about sort of building firewalls against potential threats to the arena. On the political front, this union deal guarantees support from a key sector, although, you know, there is some potential that it could spark additional support for the effort to put the arena on the ballot. On the legal front, the environmental bill that Daryl Steinberg introduced would create sort of a loophole in what they call CEQA, the state's environmental law, that would limit delays that lawsuits against the project could create.
So Steinberg's trying to get this exception to the CEQA laws for the Sacramento downtown arena. How would that impact his larger effort to streamline CEQA?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. To me, it illustrates the need for CEQA reform. I mean, the fact that you need a special law to create a special loophole in CEQA for a project that you really, really care about illustrates that the law is dysfunctional. By the way, speaking of the arena, not all downtown merchants are thrilled with the project, as you might expect. Some in Old Sacramento, for instance, say they're worried about disruption from the construction.
Well, yeah, I guess construction would create detours and make it harder for people to get to stores. But wouldn't the long-term gain sort of cancel out that short-term pain?
You would think so. But several merchants tell our arena reporter, Ben Vandermeer, that they're kind of ambivalent about it. Some in Old Sac say they already get a bump on game nights from the old stadium. So, you know, how much more of a benefit will it create for them? I think that's the question. And, you know, some think that the radius of economic benefit is pretty narrow, that only businesses that are really right around the arena or part of the arena complex could really benefit. So we'll have to see, but I was surprised by that.
Another story this week about the local people who started the California Family Fitness chain 2 decades ago, some kind of big real estate deal. What was that about?
It's pretty impressive. The two men who founded California Family Fitness, that's Larry Gurry and Russ Kahn, are selling $99 million worth of land and buildings that include property their gyms are using. It doesn't affect the business, of course, but it's an example of something that's interesting, I think, in the Sacramento area that most people who get really rich here usually do it through real estate, and often they're very low profile, like these two. Another example is the family that owns Denio's, the open-air market in Roseville. We've talked about this before, but that family, too, has quietly amassed substantial real estate holdings.
Open-air market. I remember they used to be called flea markets.
Yes, right? I think we have a different term for it now.
Hey, another thing I wanted to ask you about is medical marijuana. For a while, it seemed like dispensaries were a kind of a booming business here. It's gone up and down. What does the recent announcement by federal prosecutors mean locally?
It's hard to tell, but this is so interesting. Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, said that the feds would let Colorado and Washington go ahead with their voter-approved plans to legalize pot for recreational use if they regulate it carefully. That was sort of the main message. It doesn't appear to have a direct impact here, but it's obviously relevant because the federal prosecutors have been very tough over the last year on the medical marijuana business. As you may remember, it was flowering, for no pun intended, for quite a while, in part in response to sort of positive signals from federal prosecutors. So the business sort of went crazy for a while. The federal prosecutors shut it down. Of course, the reason is that there is a conflict between federal law and state law on marijuana. The federal law does not allow for the use of medical marijuana. So the bigger picture here is that now the U.S. government seems to be acknowledging that the states are going their own way. Half of the states, for instance, almost have medical marijuana laws. So the implication, I think, is that if California can get its act together and come up with some comprehensive system to regulate and tax medical marijuana, it could reemerge as a legitimate industry. But given the difficulty that the state of California has with CEQA, as we were talking earlier, I would not expect to see that anytime soon.
Jack, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Jack Robinson is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. We talk Friday mornings about the region's economic news, and you can hear previous business roundups at capradio.org/business. I'm Steve Milne, Capital Public Radio News.